Here's your host, Deb Newman.
Welcome aboard, everyone, to a special edition of Back to Business called A Day in the Life of a Down East Maine Lobster Fisherman. Ever wonder what it would be like to be a lobster fisherman? How many traps they haul in a day? How many lobster they catch? How they find all of their buoys? What they use for bait? How somebody gets into the business? How they protect the industry? And do lobster fishermen eat lobster? Join me as I take you out fishing aboard the Jennifer Diane with lobsterman Richard Pinkham, his son Dennis, and his sternman Corey Falabella. I had the privilege of spending the day with them fishing the waters of Steuben, Maine. Today, you'll get the answers to these questions and much more. Also joining us will be Kathy Billings with the Lobster Institute at the University of Maine and Professor James Atchison, author of two books on the topic, The Lobster Gangs of Maine and Capturing the Commons. We're very excited about this show today, everybody. So kick back and enjoy this special edition of Back to Business. Johnny Shields in command and control. Let's go fishing.
It is 3:42 a.m. I am in the car on my way to meet Richard Pinkham of Steuben, Maine. Okay, it is now 3:54 in the morning. I'm feeling extremely perky. And I'm in the front seat of a truck with Richard Pinkham and his 12-year-old son, Dennis. And we're heading down the back road to find the boat. Richard Pinkham, say hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Dennis?
Good morning.
This is early, you guys. Is this typical? Dennis, is this time you usually get up?
No.
No. Not if you can help it, right?
Right.
So if you start this early, Richard, what time do you usually end your day?
Usually the boat will end the day around 2:30, but then there's always things to do when you get back home. On land.
It was very exciting, and it looks like we have a beautiful day for it, too, so we're on our way. Okay, so Richard, tell me what we're doing now. We're down on the water. We're here.
Take the skiff and go out and get the boat and bring it into the wharf, pick you guys up, and then the day will begin.
So it's you and I and Corey. Corey's a stern man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Corey, how old are you?
18.
How long have you been doing this?
About 8 years.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's kind of early, isn't it?
Kind of.
But do you get used to it?
No, not really.
Corey's getting the trap ready. Are these your traps, Richard? Oh, those are your traps. You own your own trap?
And my own boat.
Oh, you do? That's cool.
Yeah, I do both. I stern man and I go captain.
Oh, good for you. You want to do this? You want to live here and do this the rest of your life, you think?
Yeah.
It's a good life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, while I have you, how long have you been fishing?
Can't emphasize enough.
I was around 10.
Tell the listeners how old you are now.
36.
Is it a good life?
Yes, it's a nice life. Has its ups and downs, of course, but that's part of life, but it's a wonderful life. Couldn't dream of doing anything different.
So you think we have a good day today? I mean, it's a gorgeous morning. It's warm.
Doesn't get any better than this. This will be the best day we've had for quite a while, so should be a good day.
So, Dennis, you're Richard's son. How old are you?
12.
And what are you doing this summer?
Working on the lobster fishing industry.
Are you working for your dad's boat or another boat?
I'm working for another boat.
And what are you doing on the boat?
Filling bait bags, banding lobsters, washing the boat, all the hard stuff.
So what's it like working on a lobster boat? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
How's the money?
Pretty good.
Is this something that you want to follow in your dad's footsteps and make a life out of it?
Yeah, I'd take after him because he does a whole bunch of things for me and he cares for me.
Well, have a good day out there, okay? Be safe.
Yeah.
It is now 4:10 a.m. We're down on the pier. It's a beautiful morning. It's just starting to get light. Seas are very calm. Stars are still out. Other fishermen are arriving to start their day. Richard's gone out to bring the boat in. Hey, Corey, tell me about your traps. How do you describe this type of trap?
Wire trap with shrimp mesh heads in it. That's all I guess I can describe about it. And they have four bricks in them and two runners.
Anybody using wooden traps anymore?
No, there's too much maintenance on them.
If you were to go out and buy some new traps, how much would it cost you?
About between $50 and $60 a piece. Depends on what size you get.
And then you got to put in all the line and the everything else.
The becket right through to the buoy.
Is that Richard coming in, Court?
Yeah, that is.
4:18. We're on board. We're leaving the dock. Whoa, look at that. That looks delicious, Richard. What do we got here?
You've got herring and Wheaties. Now that's herring. That's the lobster's choice for bait, I guess. I hope.
Breakfast of champions, right there.
Yes. As the old saying goes, you can bring tuna fish sandwiches with you, and then you can eat with your gloves on.
Guys are getting their gear on, getting the bait ready. We're heading out. All right, what are we doing, Richard?
Well, first thing this morning while the tide's up, we have to start in close to shores because I won't be able to get to them when the tide gets down, and that's usually typical for a summer. In the fall time when we fish, it doesn't affect you, but this time of year it does.
Corey is putting on his white gloves. Tell me what you're getting ready to do, bud.
Fill bait bag.
Is that your favorite part of the day?
Nope. It goes right through.
Yeah, those gloves don't look very dirty.
No, they're not.
All right, so Corey is reaching in, grabbing a big pile of herring. Those look like pretty good-sized fish.
Yeah, they're quite big for, I guess, fishing.
Lobster like them, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, as long as it makes money.
Hey, Richard, tell me about your boat.
It's a 35-foot boat, and I had it built last year. Not all fun and games. It takes a long time to get to where I am today. You started out with a skiff and outboard, hauling by hand, pretty much what most people do. That's how you get from point A to point B. It's a long process, but in time, I guess a person can get there. It's just time-consuming.
Tell me the name of your boat.
The name of it is Jennifer Diane 2, named after my wife. And usually, as a rule, you'll name them after your wife or your daughter or something like that.
All right, I got a question about that. So what happens when you name your boat after your wife and she's no longer your wife? What do you do?
Well, there's a fellow that I know, I'll just use his first name, Gene. He has his boat name on with Velcro, and then that way he can just peel it off and stick on a new one.
Excellent. It's sort of like a temporary tattoo.
Exactly, yep. That way it's a quick fix. Takes all of probably a couple minutes. You can take it off and then put another one right back in its place.
So he can come in and out of shore, and depending on which of his favorite ladies is waiting for him, he can change his name, right?
Exactly. And he'll probably kill me for that, but I couldn't help it, Gene. I had to say something.
What about naming the boat after your mother or your kids or something? I mean, they'll always be in your life, right?
Exactly, yeah. Usually your kids, your mother, your grandmother. It's usually a safe bet.
I heard somewhere that it's bad luck to rename a boat. Is that legend? Is that true? Or am I just making that up?
No, it's usually a boat with no name is usually people think of bad luck. There's some boats out here that don't have no name on them, but as a rule they all pretty much do. And now with the Coast Guard laws and stuff like that, you have to have a name on it, go with a boat.
How many traps do you have out there, and how many are we fishing? How many are we pulling today?
I have about 700 off right now. The limit's 800, so a person can fish in this zone. Different zones have different laws. We're going to try to pull 400 today, so
I'm going to have to pull 300 of them, right?
350.
I'm ready. Bring it on. All right, let's go.
This is Deb Newman. You're listening to a special edition of Back to Business called A Day in the Life of a Down East Maine Lobster Fisherman. We're going to go to a break, and when we get back, we're going to be hauling some traps, so stick around.
103.9 WVOM.
Mmm, the chicken fingers have a delicate golden crust, cooked to perfection. Simply divine.
And the grilled cheese is the perfect combination of ooey and gooey.
Reason number 34 to come to the 99 restaurant. Our kids' menu satisfies even the toughest critics.
Tremendous job on the junior top sirloin steak. The chef here continues to amaze me.
Kids love the 99 restaurant's huge kids' menu because it has tons of choices that kids just eat up. That's just one of the reasons the 99 is a great place for families to spend time together.
Save room for dessert. I hear the Little Midnight Fudge Hero is marvelous.
So whether you're coming with the family or a group of friends, there's something for everyone to enjoy. In fact, the 99 restaurant has 99 reasons you'll always come back for more.
The 99 restaurant has 99 reasons you'll always come back for more.
Clear Channel wants you to know that the University of Maine is helping to build Maine's economy one business at a time.
My business is called Version Zero. We help companies develop their brand by creating cutting-edge websites and promotional materials. I started my company after an internship designing a website and brochures for UMaine's Target Technology Incubator. This experience inspired me to become an entrepreneur. What I love about my work is that I can have clients in New York, work in Maine, and still hit the slopes whenever I want.
Version Zero is in business because of the University of Maine. Clear Channel wants you to know that the University of Maine is helping to build Maine's economy one business at a time.
My business is called Orinoco Spectral Solutions. We are developing a portable system that detects chemical and biological agents in liquids to help protect our nation's security and our water supply. Our technology is based on UMaine research. I'm excited about having a business in Maine because I grew up in the county, and now my young daughters will have the opportunity to grow up in Maine, too.
Orinoco Spectral Solutions is in business because of the University of Maine.
What is catered living? At Darrigal Pines, it's a lifestyle that falls between independent and assisted living, featuring gourmet meals, housekeeping with linen services, wonderful activities, and care from our attentive staff. Hi, this is Steve Bowler of Darrigal Pines with an invitation to join us on Wednesday, August 9th from 3 to 6 p.m. to preview our catered living wing. The tour includes a look at our apartments, spa, fitness room, and parlor, and a sampling of Chef Lewis's delectables. If catered living sounds right for you or a loved one, please join us on August 9th. Call Darrigal Pines Retirement Community for more information.
Did you know that Eastern Maine Community College can help you start or expand your business? EMCC's Business Resource Center, seminars, and courses can provide you with everything you need to know to start or grow a successful business, and they can help you train your employees with the skills needed to compete in today's marketplace. Whether you have one or 1,000 employees, they can develop customized and affordable training solutions that will maximize your productivity. To learn more, contact Eastern Maine Community College's Business and Industry Training Center at 974-4810.
It's Maine in the Morning. Talking with Governor John Baldacci about Tabor. 75% responding to this poll say they favor it.
It could actually constrain the capacity for local emergency and police and fire.
From the Maine Heritage Policy Center, Taryn Bragdon.
I don't blame them for being concerned about higher scrutiny of how our property taxes are used.
Mary Ellen Fitzgerald owns Critical Insights, a polling firm in Portland.
Tabor is going to bring out people to vote in this election.
It's Maine in the Morning on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network.
We've given you a chance to see some pretty big concerts, but none bigger than this. Eric Clapton, another concert bus series from Clear Channel. Packages only $389 per person, including transportation and hotel accommodations. Call 1-866-999-8687. Eric Clapton.
Visit WVOMFM.com. 103.9 WVOM. We're back, and we're taking care of business.
Johnny Shields with a little Rock Lobster in Command and Control for our special edition of Back to Business Takes You Lobster Fishing. That's right, guys. It's a day in the life of a Down East Maine lobster fishing fisherman. And the fisherman who we're joining today is Richard Pinkham out of Steuben, Maine. So let's get back out there and haul some traps. Let's go.
4:30 in the morning. We're heading out full speed ahead. It's gorgeous out here. The sun is just starting to come up. Beautiful day. Calm seas. Lobster buoys just everywhere in this bay. Steuben, Maine. Beautiful part of the world. All right, we're slowing down. Corey's getting his gloves on, and it looks like first trap coming in. Here it comes. Let's see what we got. Crab. Throwing them back. Three crabs. Now Corey's putting a new bait bag in, closing her up, and Richard just threw the trap back in. All right, no lobster in that one. One down. All right, here comes number two. You can hear it. The pulley pulling it up. All right, here comes the trap. What do we got? Oh, a lobster. Got one lobster. She a keeper?
She's a keeper, yep.
First one of the day. Corey's putting the bag in, bait bag in. They got a slick operation here. Things move very quickly. I got to stay out of the way so I don't get tangled up. Trap goes back in. Number three. Let's see what we got. Take the old bait bag out, put the new bait bag in. There's nothing in this trap. Corey's getting it all tied up, back overboard. And number four already coming up. Corey's replacing the bait bag. No lobster in that one. Hey, Corey, how deep is it out here?
Oh, it's about 15 feet right where we are.
Another one coming up. One lobster and about five crab and assorted shellfish. Richard's throwing them all back in the water. Trap goes back in. Seagulls are very happy because what Corey does is he throws all the old bait into the water. Seagulls eat it up. All right, we'll see what this trap brings us. Corey just banded the lobster claws, blue bands. We've got two lobsters so far. Checking them out. Beautiful sunrise. This gorgeous sky out here. It's a beautiful day. So calm out. It's like a lake out here right now. Another trap. More crab. Oh, a baby lobster. Richard throws that back in. All right, another trap. A lot of crab. Richard throws them all back in. Corey throws the old bait out. New bait bag going in. Trap goes back in the water. Here comes another trap. Okay, more crab. Throw it in. Throw them back. No lobster. New bait bag. Off it goes. And we're moving. Here comes another one. Oh, a lot of seaweed on that one. We got two lobster in there. Let's see if we can keep them. There's one keeper. Two keepers. So what size do you think that is, Corey?
Oh, about 4 inches, probably. The back reach from here to here.
How big do they have to be to keep them?
3 1/4.
3 1/4? Little baby eel came out of that trap. It's on the deck. It's really neat looking. Another trap coming up. Oh, what's that? Lobster. Richard's measuring it. Big enough. Another one. Richard's measuring it. Throws it back. Not big enough. Corey's got the lobster now. He's getting the bands out. Band the claws. Corey, why do you band the claws?
So they don't bite each other. And if they bite each other and they stop bleeding, they'll die.
So that protects the lobsters. Another trap. So we've got, I'm just doing a lobster count. Looks like one, two, three, about... Looks like we've got about eight so far into the day. Hey, Richard, tell me where we're fishing right now.
We're fishing in what we call Willard's Cove right here in Dyer's Bay. That's where I'll be until fall time comes, and then I'll move down around like Stepnan Light and them places. Usually that happens in the fall time.
Get warm today.
Richard's got all sorts of GPS and bottom finders.
The GPS is kind of like a lifesaver. Everybody's got one pretty much. But if it ever lets go, we got the old trusty compass.
It is now 5 o'clock in the morning. Sun's starting to make its way up over the horizon. A lot of banter over the radio. A lot of it I can't let you hear. A lot of good camaraderie out here, that's for sure. Right now we're fishing in a cove. A lot of boats around me. I love to look at the names of boats. There's one called Peer Pressure. Peer Pressure, I love that. Steuben, Maine. Hey, Corey, it's 5:02 in the morning. How many lobster do we have?
We have probably about 15 lobsters. We've hauled probably 25, 30 traps.
Is that good so far? Is that typical?
No, not so good right now, but might speed up.
Sun's coming up, too. Richard, what are these guys talking about on the radio? Can you tell me?
Some things I probably can, but most of it, no.
This bay is just full of pots. How do you get around on those foggy days? That must be challenging.
You get used to it. Oh, you get in and out of your strings, but you get used to it quick.
5:38 in the morning. Heading out to a new spot. Corey's washing down the deck. Richard's having a break. He's having a smoke and a Mountain Dew. Hey, Richard, is that the lobsterman's official diet right there, smoke and a Mountain Dew?
Yeah, caffeine's your best friend.
So I'm going to ask you about how we're doing so far. How many traps have we pulled and how many lobsters have we got?
We've pulled about 40 traps, about a pound to a trap.
Talk to me about what makes a keeper, all right? I mean, they have to be a certain length. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, we have a measure, but you have to, it's a minimum and maximum size. Minimum size is 3 1/4 inches and maximum is 5. And we have a mutilated tail on a female. If the flipper ain't rigged down perfect, then you should notch it and throw it back because that's the law that you have to do that. And so there's a lot of laws, rules, regulations. Some you like, some you don't. Some you have to live with them. Whether you like them or not.
So, and the female, isn't it true that if you pull up a female lobster and she has eggs, you notch the tail and throw it back in?
Yes. That's to know that when she does drop her egg, in the future she'd be protected so she can keep producing more eggs.
And that keeps the industry going, we hope, right?
Yeah. It's nice. It's a good law to have. It helps protect us more than anything.
All right, let's talk about the buoys. Each buoy has a different color or colors, and they belong to different fishermen, correct?
Yep, they have different colors, that's so we know that they're ours. Your license number has to be stamped on the buoy, as well as your trap. So the buoy color is totally up to the individual, whatever they want for a color, so you can identify them.
How much gear do you lose in a season? How much do you have to replace?
Usually, as a rule, probably 50 or 60 traps, and that's just a trap. Traps usually around $60, $65, and then you got rope you'll have to replace that, and then you have floats and buoys. So, and in the fall time, we fish pairs, two on a line. So when you lose one of them, now you're talking $100 and $150 easily just for rigging up two pairs.
So talk to me about the season. It's summer now. How many days a week are you fishing?
5. Usually you like to let them set. You don't want to come right back in on them too quick. But usually 4 or 5 right now, and then in the fall time, it's rough out, so you can't really tell. You pretty much any day you get good weather, you go.
Where are we going now?
We're going to go down the mouth of the bay now, and we'll haul the lower end of the bay today, and then tomorrow I'll work on the upper end of the bay.
All right, I'll let you get back to your Mountain Dew and your smoke.
Gotta have it.
You're listening to a special edition of Back to Business called A Day in the Life of a Down East Maine Lobster Fisherman. I'm your host, Deb Newman, and I had the good fortune of fishing with Richard Pinkham and his stern man, Corey Falabella, out in the waters of beautiful Stew Bend, Maine, and it was just a great experience, and I'm really excited to be able to bring it to you. And the best part is you didn't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I hope that you're enjoying this. We have much more to come throughout the program, but right now I'd like to introduce my in-studio guest, Kathy Billings, who is with the Lobster Institute at the University of Maine. Welcome to the program, Kathy.
Thanks, Tim.
It's great having you here, and Kathy is enjoying this this day in the life as you are. And first of all, let's start with the Lobster Institute. Kathy, what does the Lobster Institute do?
The Lobster Institute was actually the idea of the fishermen themselves. They came to the University of Maine looking for a better way to connect with the scientists and researchers there. And the Lobster Institute was formed basically with four core functions in mind: conservation of the resource, outreach to help people in the industry work better, research to make sure those lobsters are always going to be available, and educational outreach as well to inform the rest of the community about what lobstering is all about.
What are your thoughts so far in terms of what you've heard of our day so far fishing with Richard Pinkham out of Stew Bend, Maine?
Well, he sounds like he's really enjoying himself. I was struck also by the fact that his son was going along with him. That's a very common thing that you see in the fishery. It's a very generational type of industry. We did some oral history interviews with some of the senior lobstermen, and they talk about going with their fathers and grandfathers. And these gentlemen are in their 80s, so you can see it goes back generations. And it's really, they all seem to just love the business and enjoy being out on the ocean.
Absolutely. That's exactly the impression that I got, that there was just, this is what we do and we love it, and there are good days and there are not so good days, but you just keep going, and we'll hear more and more of that throughout the day with Richard. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, his son Dennis was in the truck with us at 3:30 in the morning, 12-year-old, and then Corey, our stern man, 18-year-old, who's been fishing since he was 10, and Richard himself started fishing when he was 10 years old. So you're absolutely right. It's very much a family-owned, generational type of business. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. And also the discussion, we'll talk more about this, but the rules and the regulations and the laws that are out there, what are your thoughts or what feedback do you get from the fishermen in terms of that discussion?
Well, you heard Richard say that, you know, some we like, some we don't like, but on the whole, lobstermen have been conservation conscious for decades. Even before some of these regulations that are now law came into being, they were aware that they needed to conserve their resource right from the beginning. So most of them do appreciate the regulations.
And they absolutely do. And many of them, they created themselves.
Exactly.
To protect the fishery and the industry and keep this going from to generation. We've got a lot more coming your way on this special edition of Back to Business. We're going to be talking in a moment about the family-owned aspect of this and how do the fishermen get along with each other out there on the waters. So stick around. You're listening to Back to Business on the Voice of Maine 103.9.
103.9 WVOM.
Welcome to Skincare Trivia. Our first contestant is Sally from Bangor.
Hello.
Okay, Sally, let's get right to it. What treatment does the Skincare Center in Bangor offer that can significantly reduce acne and wrinkles in just 21 days?
Huh? 21 days? I have this acne problem.
True or false? You can use a 21-day acne or wrinkle kit right at home.
At home? How can I?
The answer is true. Call the Skincare Center at 947-4555 for a skin consultation to see if a Biomedics 21-day acne or wrinkle kit is right for you. Sorry, Sally. No parting gift.
Admit it. You're one of those last-minute types. Show up just before the game starts. No sense to rush, right? Well, you may want to pick up the pace because summer's coming to an end and you have projects left to do. Luckily, EBS is having their August clearance on the stuff you need. Economy studs are $1.39. Pre-finished white wood screen doors are $39.99. The EBS August flyer has pages of discounted prices on garden hoses, sprinklers, lawnmowers, barbecue grills, and outdoor furniture. EBS delivers everything and anything for free. EBS. Can do. Just ask.
Place to get the clothes you need. Bush's Family Clothing Store on Route 1 in Columbia. Summer is coming and Bush's is now on their summer hours to better serve you. Monday through Wednesday, they're open 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. And Sundays, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Come in and check out a huge line of clothing, accessories, and footwear. Carhartt, Levi's, Columbia, Dickies, Alfred Dunner, Nike apparel and footwear, and a huge line of accessories. They also rent tuxes. That's Bush's Family Clothing Store in the Four Corner Shopping Center on Route 1 in Columbia.
Sorry,
the 50% off sneaker sale only includes size 13 in fuchsia.
Many times, great sales are on things nobody wants. That's not the case at Morrison Chevrolet in Ellsworth. GM is offering 0% financing for 60 months on its most popular model, the half-ton Silverado. Or you can buy your new Silverado extended cab at $4,500 less with rebates. 0% or up to $4,500 in rebates. You choose. Chevrolet and American Revolution. Morrison Chevrolet, Route 1 North, Ellsworth. Putting down East Main behind the wheel since 1930.
Your help is needed to make sure that every child has tools for school. Right now, the Voice of Maine, 103.9 WVOM, and the United Way are collecting new school supplies to be shared with Maine children who don't have pencils, notebooks, calculators, or other school tools necessary for successful learning. You can donate new school supplies today at Starbucks, Bangor Savings Bank, and online at WVOMFM.com. So thank you from WVOM and the United Way for giving Maine kids the right tools for school.
Forecast for your Saturday, mostly sunny, upper 70s, lower 80s with a northwest breeze. Then for tonight, clear to partly cloudy, 50s will do it for the low. Your Sunday, becoming partly sunny, southwesterly breezes will develop, 70s, lower 80s. Monday, more in the way of cloud cover, risk of a scattered shower or thundershower. I'm News Center 2 meteorologist Steve McKay for WVOM.
The Winter Harbor Agency on Route 186 in Goldsboro. Visit them online at winterharboragency.com.
It's 77 in Bangor.
WVOM. Make us your homepage. WVOMFM.com.
Hi, this is Cadet Master Sergeant Anthony Griffin from the Bangor Brewer Composite Squadron of the Maine Wing Civil Air Patrol. Help support Civil Air Patrol in Maine by buying a raffle ticket for a chance to win a deluxe Harley Fat Boy valued at $18,500. For tickets, please call 848-5757 or 884-8302. The drawing will be September 10th. Call 848-5757 or 884-8302.
103.9 WVOM. We're back, and we're taking care of business.
Johnny Shields at Command and Control. Is this a good fishing song? We'll let it roll.
Well, I love her, but I love to fish. I spend all day out on this lake, and hell is all I catch. But today she met me at the door, said I would have to choose. If I hit that fishing hole today, she'd be packing all her things and she'd be gone by noon.
Oh.
Well, I'm gonna miss her.
That must be the guy who uses Velcro to affix the name of his boat. Anyway, welcome back to Business. I'm your host, Deb Newman, and we're having a great program today as we celebrate a day in the life of a Down East Maine lobster fisherman. I had the good privilege and fortune and a great time joining Richard Pinkham aboard his vessel, the Jennifer Diane, out of Steuben, Maine, and we've got more to bring you from that day. But right now, I'd like to reintroduce to you Kathy Billings, who's in the studio with me. She is with the Lobster Institute located at the University of Maine. And before we went to break, we were talking about the ages of Richard, for example, is 36, and he's been fishing since he was very young. And his son now is fishing, his son Dennis, who is 12. And our stern man, Corey's 18 years old, and he's been fishing since he was 10. So I'm curious, Kathy, you work with the industry. The Lobster Institute works very close with many of the fishermen in the industry. What is the average age of a lobster fisherman out there today?
Well, actually, the average age is more somewhere in the low 50s. A lot of them, as Richard did, start when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, but they love it so much, of course, you know, and it's their livelihood that it's become an older person's, if you will, kind of industry, and that has some level of concern for these fishermen. Of course, the younger guys can get into the business. It takes them a while. They have to go through their apprenticeship programs, and there's also a limited entry now. So one of the older guys has to retire before some of these younger guys can get in. And sort of paralleling that, one of the concerns the veteran lobstermen have is that these young guys who are in the business now are only used to the sort of the boom times that have been, you know, blessing the lobster industry for the last 10, 15 years or so, whereas these guys know the historic norms aren't quite the same as they are now for catch levels. So their concern is if it goes back to those historic norms for the catches, these younger guys, you know, they might be in for a bit of a shock because they're used to the higher catches and the, you know, the income that that brings them and the things that they can do with that income. And so that, you know, that's a bit of concern to them.
It's very interesting. Well, as we go through the day, Kathy, you will hear, we'll find out how the day goes out there. And we'll talk to several other fishermen out there about their catch. So let's get back to it. Let's get back to a day in the life of a Down East Maine lobster fisherman.
You guys all know each other out here. It seems to be a big, happy family. Everybody, you either know each other or you're related. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of us are related, but we know pretty much everybody. One good thing about it, everybody helps everybody. You know, if somebody needs help with their boat or something or anything, you know, it's an automatic thing. You don't question nothing. You just do it. And everybody needs help from time to time, no matter if it's a boat going ashore or anything. And that's kind of the built-in, you know, it's basically instinct. It makes it nice because everybody gets along and everybody knows each other. You wave to each other. And
okay, so what is the strangest thing you've ever caught in a trap?
I don't know. I couldn't really, pretty much, if there's something out there, most of us have caught it. I can't really pinpoint that because from sometimes, you know, one point or another after so many years, you're going to catch a certain fish. You're going to catch, you know, you catch scallops, you catch this, catch that. In time, you catch pretty much everything.
Ever caught any kind of strange lobster? I've heard about albino lobsters.
Yeah, we had blue lobsters people caught. I've caught lobsters that looks like a tiger, got spots all over it. So some of them, not every lobster's the same color, but they all are red when you cook them.
Do you eat lobster, Richard, or do you just not have any interest whatsoever?
I love it. I'm a seafood person. I'd rather eat seafood than steak. So for all them people out there listening, eat lobster. It's good for you and it tastes great.
That's right. Keep this industry alive.
Right, Kathy Billings with the Lobster Institute. Eat lobster. It's good for you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's go to our next segment and find out a little more about the stern man on board and how that relationship works and how Corey gets paid.
5:48 in the morning. Feels like it's already been a long day. These guys really work hard, and we're ready to start hauling in traps again. Richard just transferred the lobsters from one bucket into a bigger bucket. How many have we got in there?
There's about 50 pounds right now.
How much are they going for per pound these days? How much are you getting?
$4.30.
How do you feel about that?
It could be better. You got price of bait, $19 a bushel. Rising cost of fuel, wear and tear on your boat, you know. Usually a normal breakdown on a boat ain't like a car, it runs into money. So could be better, but you take what you get, and there's really nothing you can do about it. Just grin and bear it, keep going.
How do you pay your stern man? How does Corey get paid? Is it a flat fee or based on the catch?
It's based on the catch. I joke with him. If I paid him for what he was worth, he probably wouldn't get much. But no, just joking, Corey. Yeah, he gets paid based on the catch. He gets a certain percentage, and more we catch, more he makes. Less we catch, less he makes. Same as me, you know, so that's how that works.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special edition of Back to Business, a day in the life of a Down East Maine lobster fisherman. And in a moment, we're going to check in and see how we're doing out on the boat in Steuben, Maine.
It is now 7 o'clock in the morning, and we're still hauling traps. And it occurs to me that it's already been a really long day for these guys. The rest of the world's just starting theirs. Richard, how do you think we're doing out here?
Well, I was doing all right, but this string here is just nothing here. A few crabs, I guess, mainly. But we just set these here in hopes there would be some, but they're not here.
Pulling up another trap, see if we get a little luckier here. I'll let you know. All right, let's see. Traps up. Nope. Nothing. Boy, but something ate the bait. Something other than a lobster. Corey rebaits it, throws it back overboard. Try the next one.
Richard, how long have these traps been out here?
These ones have been 3 nights on them, so I try to get back to them 2 or 3 nights. 3 nights is usually the normal.
How deep is it out here?
Right now we're in 51 feet of water, 50 feet. The deepest part's like 90.
It is just a sea of lobster pots out here. It's unbelievable. You can't go more than 5 feet without a lobster pot. It's just incredible. And it's no wonder that the only boats out here are lobster boats, because I don't think any sailor would want to try to navigate through this. It's unreal. Clearly, this is where the best fishing is right now. Everybody's out here this morning. It's a gorgeous day. It is now 8 o'clock, and we have been out here for hours. All right, so Corey, how do you think we're doing?
Not so well right now.
How many lobsters do you think we've got?
About 86 lobsters and count.
How many traps do you think we've pulled?
Probably 120.
Listen to me say we. I've done nothing. You've pulled 120 traps. Do you ever get tired? Are you tired?
Not too bad right now. About 2 o'clock I will be, though.
Yeah, that's a long day. There are a ton of pots out here, Richard. How do you find all of yours? How do you remember where they all are?
Pretty much we fish the same areas year after year. I mark out the end of my string on my plotter, and then that way I know right where my end ones are, and I put them in a string so you can stay on top of them. People, they need to make a living, so if you can find a spot, they narrow them down. That's usually where you fish the most.
How many fishermen are fishing this area right now?
Oh, I'd have to say probably around 30. In a small, tight area like this, that's quite a bit.
How do you feel about the day so far? It's 8 o'clock. How are we doing?
Not what I expected by far, but maybe they've taken a little vacation. We just go through the motions, I guess. Keep going. You can't give up.
Talk to me about bait. We're using herring. Is that the bait of choice?
That's what seems to be the bait of choice, yeah. I mean, there's different kinds, different varieties, I guess. But that's what I use, is herring. It's what most of the fishermen use around here.
Where do you get it?
I get it right where I sell my lobsters. Oh, I get my bait, my fuel, everything right there. It's a convenience. Don't have to go get it, nothing like that. When you get strings like this right here, like the one we're on, the last one we went through, it makes you think about a different profession.
If you were to do anything else, what would it be, Richard, if you had to choose?
I don't know what it'd be, but it would be self-employment. I only have to answer to my wife that way, and not somebody else.
I ain't have enough rope on these, and I said them last time, so I'm gonna add these little jumpers on them.
Keith, would you explain why y'all catch you more than me, just so we can get it on, you know, get it across the airway, see 4 or 5 come out of that pair. So I'm just asking a question, that's all, trying to just fact-finding mission.
Yeah, I got 6 out of that one.
He's just following you, Richard. All right, what's going on? What's the name of that boat?
Miss Michaela. It's my Uncle Eric's boat.
How are they doing, Corey?
I imagine they're doing real good. And my brother's a steering man on that vessel.
You think they're doing better than we're doing?
Oh, I'd say so. They're probably doing a lot better, but Eric's been fishing for probably 40 years.
So does he have a secret ingredient?
He's probably got a lot more knowledge than a lot of people are on the bay.
You think it's knowledge or luck, Richard? You think they're smarter or luckier?
Oh, they're by far smarter. They're true fishermen.
And they like to show off, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
So your whole family fishes, Corey, then?
My brother, my father, and my mother goes with me, stern man.
Really? Yeah. All right. You're listening to a special edition of Back to Business, a day in the life of a Down East Maine lobster fisherman. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we've got a tip of the hour you don't want to miss. Grab a pen and a piece of paper. And also, these guys are about to put me to work. So stick around. You're listening to Back to Business on the Voice of Maine, 103.9.
103.9 WVOM.
Clear Channel wants you to know that the University of Maine is helping to build Maine's economy one business at a time.
My company is called Knife Edge Productions. We are a film and video production company that combines our artistic and innovative vision with the latest video technology. Our work ranges from promotional films to music videos. I grew up in Cherryfield, and like many young people left the state, the University of Maine gave me the opportunity to come back to Maine, further my education, and start my own business.
Knife Edge Productions is in business because of the University of Maine. Clear Channel wants you to know that the University of Maine is helping to build Maine's economy one business at a time.
My company is called Finisys. We are developing WebBarrister, an innovative web-based practice management application for law firms. Last year, we moved our operations from Massachusetts to the Target Technology Incubator at UMaine. We really wanted to live and work in Maine, and the incubator is a great place to grow our company. The incubator's help with launching our product has made the move good for business, too.
Finisys is in business because of the University of Maine.
Let's face it, time doesn't stand still, and neither do our experienced bankers. We go the extra mile to help you achieve your business goals. We know that your time is valuable, so our experienced bankers are willing to meet with you at your office or business location. Whatever your business needs, we're here for you. Call or stop by one of our 11 branch locations today and experience exceptional customer service. We're Machias Savings Bank. Experienced people, exceptional service. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good oral hygiene and preventative care are the best ways to take care of your teeth and keep them for life. Sometimes it becomes necessary to have painful or unsightly teeth removed. A toll-free call to 1-866-PULL-247 can help. Dr. Robert Erickson is a general dentist who's decided to make pulling teeth a major part of his practice. Dr. Erickson is located at the New England Denture Center, 12 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, 992-2060, or toll-free 1-866-PULL-247.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, "Je voudrais le poulet et le riz."
Discover the world's fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. It's the amazing Rosetta Stone software, and you can try it free. Request a free demo CD-ROM by calling 1-800-442-6106. There's no tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Call 1-800-442-6106. 1-800-442-6106.
Getting back for a second to the tsunami, there are several things that caught my eye.
Get weird with Coast to Coast.
The shift of mass towards the Earth's center had caused the planet to begin spinning a millionth of a second faster.
Art Bell.
And get this, folks, to tilt about an inch, just 1 inch, on its axis.
Late nights, every night, catch Coast to Coast AM on 103.9 WVOM.
Photos and celebrity news on demand at WVOMFM.com.
I'm the one constant in the last 14 years.
Rush Limbaugh on 103.9 WVOM.
I will always be there. I'm who I am. I'm the bulwark. I'm the one that hasn't changed. I have always been
Rush Limbaugh on 103.9 WVOM.
You tell me what you want me to do. That means it's time for our Back to Business Tip of the Hour. And our Tip of the Hour is sponsored by J Group Advertising. Get a strategy, get business. It's that simple. Call them at 990-3879 or go to jgroupadvertising.com. I'm Back to Business today. We've got a special edition featuring a day in the life of a Down East Maine lobster fisherman. And if you're wondering the best way to cook a lobster, you're going to find out from the expert. Here's our tip.
Do you have any suggestions as to the best way to prepare, best way to cook a lobster?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, they boil them. I like to steam mine. It seems to be better. I've gone down on the beach before and use salt water, keep them out of the water. You put seaweed in the bottom of your pot a little bit. Steaming rack rut's good. Keep them out of the water and top them off with seaweed. Steam them, man, and it's just so much better than fresh water. It's a whole different taste. Well, eat them on the beach, you get a little messy, you got plenty of water to clean up with.
There you go. You're Back to Business Tip of the Hour. Richard Pinkham, lobster fisherman, telling you how to cook a lobster. And I couldn't agree with him more. That whole steaming idea, it's delicious. Let's get back on board and let's fill some bait bags. All right, tell me what I'm going to have to do again, Corey.
You're going to have to fill a bait bag barehanded.
Barehanded? That's not fair. You've got gloves on. Now, Richard just told me that filling bait bags makes your nails grow longer. Let me see your nails.
I don't think they do. I think it shortens them out.
Let me see you fill one barehanded. Corey just took his gloves off. Oh, yum. Now he's reaching in a big pile of herring.
and stuff in a bait bag. It feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You ever watch Fear Factor?
Yeah, a few times.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
All right, then. I'm going to fill some bait bags. Contribute something to this voyage. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Okay. All right. So I just take a bag. Oh, boy. Reach in. Oh, my gosh. They're slimy. Scaly. Is that enough? How many?
A little bit more.
What? 10 in there. A few more. Is that good? And then just pull it?
Yeah. There you go.
Actually, that's not too bad. It's kind of a nice oily. People probably pay big money for this kind of oil. Let me do another one. I'm on a roll. Hey, Court, how would you describe these bags?
Oh, like plastic, a light plastic, I guess.
Yeah, kind of expandable. Oh.
Yep.
You're a lot faster at this than I am, but you've had years of practice.
I've done it a couple times.
You ever run out of bait out here?
Yeah. Usually just go in and get some more.
How's that look?
That's fine.
All right. Doing my part. You watch. When you pick up these traps, they're going to be the best ones of the string. I think the worst part is emptying the ones that come out of the traps.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say?
Definitely. That's old nasty bait.
Okay. Couple more. They smell like sardines. It's getting nice and warm out here. I bet when it gets hot, they get hot in the sun, they start smelling really good. Yeah, that'll be later. It's still morning. We got plenty of time for that. All right, how'd I do?
You did fine.
All right. I'll go rinse my hands. So this is the hand wash bucket on the boat. Yeah. Well, look at that nice oily sheen I have on my hands now. See? It's all good. Hey, that was a lot of fun, filling those bait bags. Oh, it's good stuff. You're listening to a special edition of Back to Business, a day in the life of a down east Maine lobster fisherman. And we've got Kathy Billings in the studio with the Lobster Institute at the University of Maine, and we're joining Richard Pinkham on board the Jennifer Diane fishing out of Steuben, Maine. So, Johnny Shields, can we get back on board? All right, let's go. Hey, how many lobsters were in that trap? That looked pretty good, Corey.
What's that?
How many lobsters were in that batch?
About three.
Now you're putting the rubber bands on some lobsters we just brought up. What's that contraption that you use to stretch the rubber bands?
It's called a bander.
Bander. Have you ever been caught, your fingers caught in one of those lobster claws before you got the bands on?
Oh, yeah.
What'd that feel like?
Oh, a lot of pressure.
How do you get it off your finger?
They have a lot of, they just bite you quick, then you just pull it. You can usually pull it right off.
Ouch.
Unless it's a hard one.
That's an experience I think I'll pass on this trip, if you don't mind.
I don't blame you.
All right. Yeah, I tried to avoid that whole lobster claw on the finger experience. It was very interesting to see how quickly Corey was able to band those claws and get them secured. Let's go back to the boat and keep fishing. So where are we heading now, Richard?
Oh, we're going to head back down lower part of the bay. There's a couple strings down there I didn't get this morning. I stay down this way for right now. The tide isn't up, and there ain't much water up in the head end, so you pretty much have to stay out in the middle of the bay.
So, Richard, how are we doing so far?
So-so. I mean, it's not a knock-your-socks-off day. It's just maybe a little below average, but oh, well. Just keep going. Put your head down and go.
So if you work a really long day today, can you take a day or two off?
No, I got to work tomorrow too. Fresh bait. Got to keep them baited up.
Got to keep them baited up. Kathy Billings is in the studio with me again with the Lobster Institute, the University of Maine. Kathy, talk to me about bait. There was a lot of discussion on board about bait, about the right bait, about what the lobster taking the bait. Talk to me about bait.
Well, of course, if you don't have the right bait, you don't catch the lobsters. So obviously, it's a big concern for them. Herring, as Richard has told you, is the bait of choice. As a matter of fact, in the industry region-wide, including Canada and the U.S., they can go through 700 or 800 million pounds of bait in a year. And having that kind of supply on hand is a concern as well. Sometimes they are running a little short. It's sort of a just-in-time type of supply. But the value of the landings of that many pounds of herring is about $56 million in and of itself. So that's a whole other subsidiary business that relies heavily on the lobster industry. And also, you had mentioned when one time they hauled up a trap and looked like something had eaten the bait and it wasn't a lobster. Well, it very well could have been a lobster because those traps are designed to sometimes let the lobsters come in and go out at the same time, particularly the short ones, the undersized, non-legal size ones. They can go right in, have some lunch, go out what they call the escape vent, which is put in the traps especially designed to let those little ones out because they're not keepers to begin with. So they want them to be able to grow to legal size and not get hauled up in the traps. So it's a real ongoing, you know, challenge to get the right bait and make sure it's fresh and catch the lobsters.
Are there any concerns about the future availability of herring for bait? Any concerns with that fishery at all?
There is a concern. As I said, sometimes now it's in just-in-time supply. Sometimes it's even short. And one of the reasons possibly for that is herring is becoming more of a food that people will eat. And, of course, there's more value to sell your herring for human consumption than there is to sell it as bait. So that's one pressure that's put on, as well as, you know, some of the fishing habits, the trawling and so forth for the herring. But one of the things the Lobster Institute and others are trying to do to alleviate that situation is come up with some alternatives. And in the lab, we've been working on a grain-based bait that would obviously be much easier to supply. We just now have to make sure that it attracts well enough and holds up long enough in the water to make it work. And we do have some prototypes out there now. We're working with a company called Saltwater Marketing. They've partnered us up with Blue Seal Feed, and we're doing some testing on that now, and hopefully that'll be a good, either a substitute if necessary, or at least a stretcher for the amount of herring that's out there.
And the Lobstitute is engaged in a great amount of research around this industry, correct?
Yes, exactly. One of our main focuses, of course, is on the health of the lobster, to make sure that the fishery is sustainable, that there are always going to be lobsters out there. But we're also looking as much as we can to add some value to the industry. So we want to use the resource as much as we can. We do a lot of food science connected with the lobster. And again, we want to make it as efficient as possible. So we've been doing gear research, any number of things that are going to help the industry be more productive.
Kathy Billings with the Lobster Institute at the University of Maine. And the website, if you want to check it out, is lobsterinstitute.org. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's a great website, all sorts of information, including a historical timeline of the lobster industry. And what I found fascinating was that back in the 1600s, lobster was so plentiful that it was just considered junk food or pauper's food. And there are even stories of indentured servants having it written into their contracts that they could not be served lobster more than twice a week. Very interesting, Kathy.
Yes, indeed. You know, you could, at those days, walk right down into the water, wade in, reach down, and pick them up. That's how plentiful they were. You didn't even have to fish for them.
And they used them to fertilize potato fields, I understand, up in Aroostook County. You're listening to a special edition of Back to Business. We're lobster fishing with Richard Pinkham and Stu Ben Main. Stick around. More fishing to come.